Last night, we talked about and had a conversation around a single verse in our Torah portion, Vasuli Mikdash Vishachanti Bitocham. We learned about the grammar of it, but we learned that in some way, if we can build a sanctuary, then God dwells in us. And we discussed moments of transcendence that came to us from some level of hard work. I want to expand on that discussion in a slightly different way and talk about something that Jews do, but that sometimes we struggle with, namely prayer. Because behind this whole section of the Torah, which deals with building a sanctuary, is the notion that we come together for just this purpose. And so what I want to do is have a discussion and ask you about your prayer life, moments when prayer worked, where you felt something, the times it didn't, and can we identify why? And since that is a hard topic, since that is a personal topic, I figure I'll be Nachshon, I'll be the person who plunges into the sea first and share a couple of short moments that were particularly significant in my prayer life. The first one comes as a child being dragged, and dragged's probably the correct word, to synagogue as a youth every Shabbat. The cantor I grew up with was Cantor Sumner Crockett. The lighting was dim. The architecture had high drama. I didn't know what was happening. But there was some sort of mystery there. And Cantor Crockett's voice filled the room. And I had moments of childlike wonder being in that place. Even though, truth be told, I couldn't wait till the Oneg Shabbat, where my brother and I would mix grape, root beer, and Coca-Cola into one cocktail. My next prayer moment I want to share with you comes later in my life, after I had left being Jewish, if you will. Didn't go to any other religions. I just stopped practicing for a period of some time. I was living in San Francisco, and I came back into the Jewish world through the Renewal Movement. And in the congregation where I met my lovely Kala, we had a retreat, congregation-wide retreat, in a nature setting. And most of us went there for a wonderful Shabbat, and we davened Shabbat morning outside. I know when I speak to people about Jewish life and prayer, very often people find it easier to connect in nature. What was unique was this was not one person hiking and looking at the grandeur of the world. This was a whole community. And to be out there was this very, very powerful moment for me. Final moment. Give two moments, because, you know, why not? Was in the days after the Pigua, the terrorist blast I was at Hebrew University, when I went to the conservative yeshiva and led prayer, and I got to Bench Gomel, the prayer in which we thank God for sustaining us. And that prayer, hardened by the reality of the world and that hardship, broke me open into tears of pain, but also of tremendous gratitude. Earlier today, while I was praying in the Shachrit Amidah, I had chills while I prayed. And that, for me, is a sign of when my prayer is real. I sort of get a little bit of energy running up and down my spine, a sense that I'm alive somehow in the moment. But if truth is told, there are plenty of other times during a service where I'm going through the mechanics of it in a rote manner, maybe because I have to keep the service flowing for everyone else. So some moments of prayer in my life, and of course my desire is to have more of those deeper connections to God and the tradition, and I'm hoping maybe you can help me or others in here by sharing your own spiritually significant encounters with prayer. Okay, so we're talking about birth. I'd like to actually bring it to a more difficult place if I can. Not moments where we feel connected to God or have that reality. I want to talk actually about in prayer space, because that's the hard part for us. And when I ask a question like that, there's always going to be a little bit of silence, but I wouldn't be surprised that that's a little bit harder for us. Mitch? Saying Kaddish for his parents during the Shiva. Okay. So Shiva, right? There are ways, I think, in which prayer, certainly praying for our parents, losing a parent, grief opens us up. And there are times where we get out of our own way and can pray very deeply at those moments, and certainly in the surrounded by the love and support of community. Wonderful.
I never had a Hebrew school education. I was basically on the fringes of Jewish activity through my college years when I discovered the conservative movement. And neither I nor the movement have been the same ever since. But over the years, I have developed an insight, so to speak, that during the silent portions of the prayer, I very rarely use the text. That's when I get my own connection with Hashem. Sometimes I connect, and sometimes I don't.
Beautiful. So thank you for reminding us that this is our prayer space and that we get to use it in the way that works for us. We sometimes forget that. We Jews are a little bit of an OCD culture, and we think we gotta read every darn word in the prayer book. You don't.
Just recall this story, that my son was getting his bar mitzvah at Masada in Israel. And there we were, a group from our congregation with our rabbi who had traveled with us. And it was a sunny, beautiful day. And as the rabbi was conducting the service, he read a prayer, which I'm sorry, I don't remember which one it was, but then he translated it to the trumpets sounded and the cymbals crashed. And as he spoke, just at the moment when he spoke the words, cymbals crashed, there was a sonic boom. And we all knew.
There is something, right, when the word and the experience coincide. You know, when you say, let there be light, and the light goes on, or I've had that in places, there's an electricity shortage just at the moment. It takes us out of our minds and opens our hearts, and it's like, oh yes, this is real. Beautiful. Erica.
People always talk about you don't remember what you ate or what people said, but you always remember how you feel. So I remember not too long ago, a few weeks ago, my nephew Ami davening Shacharit and pounding on the bima, and I don't remember what we were saying or which prayer it was, but definitely spiritually moving.
Beautiful. So now we can begin to move this conversation a little bit It was during the Shacharit Amidah, and Ami is someone who davens at Ikar, a community in Los Angeles, which brings in a lot of percussion, drum music, into the service. So I want you to notice, a lot of you, maybe this is safer, how many of you didn't say anything because you didn't have anything to say? So how many of you haven't said anything because you're just bashful? Can someone who's bashful be willing to share something with us? Thank you.
I was here for Yisker. I think it was Sukkot, the year after my father died. And I remember in the Stamford Chapel feeling like I had made some movement through the process of the grief that I was feeling. And as we read the words, feeling very connected in that moment. And then, you know, maybe 5 minutes later, was completely overcome by grief again. The tears were flowing, unstoppable. Because in that moment, I was thinking about everybody I knew that was eventually going to lose their parents. And so I felt kind of connected to those Yisker words again. And it just felt to me that that you can have... It flows. It can flow and feel connected and also feel overwhelming.
Beautiful. You know, my image certainly of a healthy synagogue is a place, not every week perhaps, but a place where people can cry during prayer services. I think sometimes we feel we need to be so protected. And I was very grateful this Yom Kippur with a number of people where the reality of what we're doing, that this stuff means something, brought up for them tremendous emotion. And so I want to turn it another way, see if I can get any help from you guys. What do you think would happen or what could we do in the formal service that we offer that might help us have more connected moments a prayer? Because Parshat Truma, this building of sanctuary spaces, let's never forget, is aiming to something. Yes, it's great for us to gather. There's a lot of spaces in the world we can gather, but there's very few places where we can pray as a community.
I love these gadgets. I invented some of them. My feeling for a foundation of prayer is education, both the education in the background and also the education of why we pray. And I think that's what has to be brought into our advanced culture, so to speak.
Wonderful. Well, so hopefully conversations like this are part of that. We're trying to interject in the service here and there some explanations of what the service is about as well.
I think there are key opportunities during the service where we could have some relevance of a specific prayer brought out potentially for the congregation, for those that might be visiting that aren't used to every single prayer and its specific meaning. And by interjecting that, I think we would make that relevance be a little more beneficial for the community. Maybe a connect better.
Beautiful, right. And we are trying to begin to slowly do that. I think that's important. I think intellectual understanding is really important. I'm also trying to figure out how do we get, you know, as Erica said, how do we also get heart understanding as well, which it's easier to explain the prayer than to help us with that heart piece, but it is essential also. Wonderful. Silence. I'm going to ask you then, I'm going to give a charge. I want you to send me an email if you weren't able to say something here and share your thoughts on how prayer, space, and time can be made to speak to us a little bit more. We know that as modern people, Prayer is extremely difficult for us. We sometimes look back at the sacrifices of our ancestors and think how primitive they were. And I think the actual truth in my book is the very opposite. I think they understood that if you brought something tremendously valuable to you, expensive and rare, that you were already primed to have an experience. I think that we need to find our own ways to do that so that it is not something rote, but something that enriches us, that we can look forward to, that changes us. So please, I ask you, send me your thoughts. Begin thinking about it, because this is the heart of the Jewish people. This is what has kept us together. It is the one action that has united us throughout time. And as difficult as it is in our day and age, we need to reinvent and find the ways, the technologies of spirit that our ancestors found, and find them for ourselves. Shabbat Shalom.